We're doing Chafetz Chaim. We're up to page Lamed Aleph, and the Chafetz Chaim had been enumerating how many transgressions a person can transgress when saying over Lashon Hara, and the Chafetz Chaim continues in paragraph 14, Yudalet, v'im ginau kol kach b'dvarim anal. And if, when saying over the Lashon Hara, a person was so derisive, he shamed the person so bad, if he caused the person to change colors, turned red, yeah, embarrassed the guy. So then he is also in transgression of the prohibition, don't carry a sin over him. What is that talking about? So the Torah says, let's get the backdrop to the scene. The Torah says, Hocheach tocheach et amitecha. In the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, the Torah says, Hocheach tocheach et amitecha. Rebuke, you shall rebuke your fellow citizen, et amitecha, from the word am. Velotisa alav chet. And don't carry a transgression over him. What does that mean? It means rebuke him, but don't do it in a transgressful way. Shehizhira Torah bazeh. The Torah warned us here specifically. When the Torah told us to do something which is sensitive, to rebuke someone, the Torah warned us, "Shelo levayesh et chavero Yisrael, don't embarrass him." Afilu bimkom atochacha, even when you have to rebuke him, uveino leven atzmo, even when it's only you two, be careful to do it in a way that will not be embarrassing. Da'inu shelo ledaber ito kashot ad shiach limenu. Even when you have to rebuke him, you have to be gentle. Don't talk with him so toughly to the point where you embarrass him. So if the Torah warned us, when you're taking a guy aside and you're talking to him one-on-one and you're rebuking him, the Torah says, be careful to be gentle. Don't do it in a way that would be transgressing this prohibition. Be careful not to shame him unnecessarily. So then we understand from that there's a specific commandment if it's not in such a scenario, if there's no rebuke. And if he's going to do it in front of others, certainly he's transgressing this if he shames him. And all of this is when it's not publicly, it's just between the two of you. But if he shamed him publicly, our sages cut him off from the world to come, and our sages said, a person who shames his friend publicly has no portion in the world to come. Wow, scary line. So the Chafetz Chaim just recounted the 14th prohibition. If a person caused the person's colors to change, if he embarrassed him, and even if it was just one-on-one, and he embarrassed him, he caused his colors to change by telling over Lashon Hara, so that's number one. And if he does it publicly, so that's even more severe. What our sages warn us in Mishnah and Pirkei Avot, Hamalbin et mechavro barabim en lochelek la'olam haba. Now the Chafetz Chaim gives us a parenthetical footnote. And what the Chafetz Chaim is about to tell us is from real life. People would often wonder about the Chafetz Chaim, being that he was so pious, how did he know to give such real life examples? And he didn't spend his time in the tavern. So how did he know? But you'll see from his examples that he knows what people are like. So we go down, you see the star, we go down to the footnote. Vedan, I want you to know, De'etzel olchei rachil, that when we speak about peddlers, matzui me'od lav ze al yedei ma shekorin b'lshon Ashkenaz oisfirin. There's something, they have this custom called oisfirin. He's going to explain. Mazbir ze lechaze b'lshon kodesh kedei leda kama lam deoraita bein al yedei mida goa zo. I don't know what this oisfirin is, but I guess he's going to tell us. Vehu, kshayisaper lo reuven l'shimon, levi diber alecha lefanai kach v'chach. So Reuven walks over to Shimon, okay? We're starting our story. He tells him, you know, Levi told me about you, such and such. Okay, so number one, Reuven has just transgressed lo telech achil ba'amecha and all the other prohibitions we learned. V'shimon ma'amin ledvarav. Shimon hears that's what Levi said about me? So now he's also transgressing many prohibitions. Why did he believe it? V'achakak shepogash Shimon b'Levi. And then Shimon meets up with Levi, and he's thinking to himself, that guy, what did he say about me? So right away, he starts cursing out Levi. Now he's also transgressing the prohibition. You're not allowed to pain a fellow Jew. You can't say something hurtful to them. And all this is because he decided that the Lashon Hara he heard was true. He hears that so-and-so said something about him, so he turns to the guy, and now he's ready to curse him out. But how do you know it's true? Velevi omedu mishteh. So Levi's standing there, and he's wondering, Al ma velama tamachafeni. He's looking at Shimon, why are you cursing me? What happened? Ad sheshimon b'chasom saper lo. And then Shimon tells him, he's so upset at him, he tells him, Lama ginita oti lifnei Reuven? Why did you go and tell Reuven those things about me? V'chisavot asheni yodeh. Don't you thought I wouldn't know? V'lo Reuven sipali, Reuven told me. Guys, you should know, this is what happens in real life. You got to be so careful. People quote you, people forward your emails. There are certain things you shouldn't put in writing, and there are certain things you shouldn't say, if you can avoid saying them.
Certain things you shouldn't publish.
Right?
Certain things you shouldn't say with
it. That's true.
That's what people used to do. They used to put pictures on the internet of the girlfriends or something like that. It used to be, and they got in trouble with the law because they did
that. So then, when Shimon tells Levi, Reuven already told me, he's also transgressing the prohibition of telling over Lashon Hara. So what does Levi do? Now Levi's cornered. What does he do? He tells him, Ki shekher hanabi Reuven. He says, you know what? Reuven lied. You're cursing me out. I never said it. So now what happens? Shimon meets up with Reuven again. And he tells him, you know, you told me this. I went and cursed out Levi. He comes back to him. So then Reuven comes back. When Shimon meets up with Reuven again, he tells him, because of you, I went and cursed out Levi for nothing. What happens next? He tells him, you know, Levi told me it never happened. So Reuven tells Shimon, what? Levi told you it never happened? Come with me. I'll tell you in front of you. Let me go tell you in front of Levi I'm going to tell you. Let's see him tell me to the face it didn't happen. Come with me. I'll tell to you in front of him. And we have a rule in heaven when they see a person wants to defile himself, they tell him, go ahead. We won't stand in your way. If you try to purify yourself in heaven, they say, I'll help you out. If you want to defile yourself, heaven says, I won't stand in your way. You have free will. Shimon tells Reuven, fine, let's see you say it in front of him. And then Reuven gets all brazen and says, you said in front of me, you said about me like that, you said I was a liar? I wasn't a liar, I said the truth. And then what happens? Levi gets all embarrassed because Levi tried to get out of it, right? You guys know this happens. You've seen this thousands of times. This happens all the time. So the Chafetz Chaim is painting a picture. But this is what happens. It happens with kids, and it happens with adults. Unfortunately, it happens. And now Levi gets embarrassed. So now Reuven just transgressed the prohibition we just said, where he's embarrassing Levi. Ve'Levi meshiv, and Levi, in his own defense, says, Emet dibalti, aval lo b'ofen zeh, v'nigun zeh amalti. Yeah, I said it, but I didn't say it that way. You know, if you do one shake of the hand, it could change everything. You know, you quote someone and you say, he said that. You just flicked your hand as you said the word that, and you did everything. Now, whether he said it this way or that way makes a world of a difference. You guys know the story. The father's illiterate. He gets a letter from his son. Dad, send me money. So he goes to the neighbor on his right. He tells him, what did my son write me? So the neighbor on the right says, your son wrote your dad, send me money. So he says, what the nerve? Why did he write it that way? That's my son. I'm not sending him a penny. Let him starve. Okay. A week passes. He says, his wife tells him, you know, maybe you never ask the neighbor on the right. You always ask the neighbor on the left to read your letters. Go to the neighbor on the left. Ask him what the letter says. So he goes to the neighbor on the left, and the neighbor on the left looks at the letter and he says, look, your son is really in a tight spot. He sent you this letter and he writes, Dad, send me money. So he says, really? Wow, I feel so bad for him. I didn't realize that's what the letter says. Yeah, okay, the intonation makes all the difference.
It depends, right?
We're all that way. So that's why When Levi is challenged, Levi says, yeah, I said it, but I didn't say it that way. And Shimon says, you liar. You told me you didn't say it. Now you're saying you did say it. I'm never going to believe you again. So now you see that Shimon transgresses again. Why does he believe it? Why does Shimon believe that Levi's the liar? So now this guy had the nerve to speak in front of him and embarrass him publicly. Now you believe him? He says, look at how people can take a trait and develop it and transgress again and again.
If Reuven would go on the ways of Hashem, Reuven would have been quiet.
At least when Shimon came back and said, Levi denies he ever said it. So Reuven should have kept quiet, okay? So he denies it. Reuven knows he told the truth, right? He shouldn't have said it. But let's say he was right in saying it. Someone once called me up about a shidduch. What was I supposed to do? There were things that the other party had to know. So what you usually do is you call up the party and you say, look, they're going to ask me about you. Why don't you tell them these things about yourself? Why should I tell them? You come clean, tell them the truth, and it doesn't have to come from me. You don't have to seem like a liar. But sometimes you don't have a choice. The person hides it. The person's being dishonest. You can't let the person fall. I once called a guy. A guy called me 2 weeks before his wedding. In a minute. A guy once called 2 weeks before his wedding and told me, you know, I'm getting married to this girl, and I didn't mention a whole list of things. And I said to him, you know, it's going to come up eventually, and you better go mention it. Go sit her down, take her out for dinner, and talk to her and say, you know, there were a few things which we probably didn't touch on during the dating, but you're really entitled to know. And he called, he never talked to me again. And I, in my mind, made up my mind that halachically I can't keep quiet because these are things that she's not allowed, it's not right to get married without her knowing. Now, not everything does a girl have to know. You don't have to tell her all your dark history. Some things are none of her business. That's a tough question in halacha. When is it your responsibility to share information with her and when is it none of her business? And each person should verify that regarding their own skeletons. And everyone has skeletons. If you don't have skeletons, you're not normal. Everyone has skeletons. So you have to verify, but there are things which you're not allowed to hide from the other party. And you are not. There are things you're not allowed to hide from the other party. If a person can't procreate, you know, medically he can't have children, he sort of has to tell her.
Yeah, because you cannot even marry when you're not compatible.
I didn't say you can't marry. I said there. Okay. Okay.
If these come up after they get married, it'd be worse because she'll want a divorce. So you're better off doing it before they had everything.
Right, but not everything. I'm saying there are times when even though the person didn't reveal everything, we have no right to reveal what they haven't revealed. Right. It's a very difficult question in halacha. Sometimes we have to sit quietly by. It's none of our business to get involved. Sometimes we have no right to sit quietly by. So this fellow didn't tell me what happened. And he was getting married in another country. I had no way of knowing who the kala was. I had no way of contacting anyone. He calls me up 2 weeks before his wedding and says, what am I supposed to do now? And I said, you have to tell her. And I had no way of contacting the girl. Didn't know who she was, didn't know where he was getting married, nothing. I didn't know. I spent a half hour on the phone trying to convince him he should talk to her. And then I never heard from him again. Sent him an email, nothing.
Drunk night in Vegas, and then in the chapel with an Elvis type of guy.
Half a year later, he calls me up. And he tells me he did it. He tells me that before the wedding, that night, or a night later, he sat down with her and he shared everything with her, and he said that for months he was thankful because he walked into the chuppah feeling he was honest with the girl. And she didn't break it up with him. He had no guarantee. I couldn't guarantee him how she'd react. I had no idea. He did share with her the information he had withheld from her. But I'm just saying, this idea, sometimes you have to say, most often you could tell the other party, why don't you share it with them yourself? If there's information that a person is entitled to know, you're dating a girl and she's entitled to know certain information about you. Some things are none of her business, but some things are her business. So if there's information, let's say you know your roommate has certain issues that he should share with the girl. So you ask a shayla and they tell you, yeah, halachically he should share that information with the girl. And you know your roommate is dating her seriously and he tells you, don't tell a soul because I'm not telling her. So you should try to convince him to tell her. And if he doesn't, so then you have to ask a shayla because sometimes, sometimes you have to tell her. You know, that's a tough call. I was just thinking about it. A few weeks ago, I bumped into an alumni of ours. And
I think it's plural. I think it's
correct. I bumped into an alumnus of ours.
Just want to make sure you look
that up. I remember. No. I was corrected on this point. Who was engaged. He was standing 3 or 4 weeks before the wedding. And a guy calls me up, another alumnus of ours, and says, you have to call the girl and warn her. I said, what? He says, he's got a temper. He almost killed someone once with his temper. And I said, how do you know? So he tells me a whole story. And he tells me how he got upset at the guy and he choked the guy. And I hear the story and I'm not convinced the guy's telling me the truth. I wasn't convinced. Maybe this guy wanted to marry the girl. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. If you know it's true, then you have to think maybe she should have verified it. There are many halachot. It's not so simple. I'm not addressing the halacha. I'm not going into when you have to say what. I'm just saying that in that case, I looked into it as best as I could, and I came to the conclusion that there was no real evidence that this guy was telling the truth. So I had no right to tell the girl anything. They were already engaged, and I had no evidence that this other fellow, who obviously hated his guts, was telling the truth. So I had no right to tell the girl anything. So I kept quiet. I didn't say anything. And I kept quiet, but I had a heavy heart. You know, you hope you're doing right. I have no way to know. And years have passed since then. And for years I kept tabs, trying to make sure there was peace in the house, everything was okay. And I just saw him a few weeks ago, and it was so beautiful to see. This guy was always very gentle in front of us. As far as we knew, he was such a fine guy. So when you get such a phone call, you wonder, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, am I missing something? I don't know, right? You can't know. But I can tell you that years later, I'm very comfortable with the decision not to have said a word. That's where these halachot of Lashon Hara get very complicated. You have to really look into things before you say something. You have to know, A, is it true? And B, do you have a right or a responsibility to talk? Just because it's the truth doesn't mean you have a right to say it. And sometimes it's not even the truth. And once a person speaks, so then you never know where it'll end. And then sometimes you say what you have to say. You have no choice. So after you've tried, and I purposely took the time to explain, the correct way is to go to the other party and let them reveal the information. We had more than one students here who were dating girls where I was privy to information that the student had to know. And I was fairly confident that it was very relevant for the student to know that information about the girl. And she wasn't telling. And I just told the student, don't get engaged yet. Wait. And promise me you're not getting engaged. And I waited to see. And sometimes I would even contact the girl and say, look, either you tell him or I tell him, but he has to know. But just because it's our student doesn't mean I don't have to have a loyalty to the other party as well. I gave her the opportunity to tell the student the facts. And in every instance, she did. But imagine if there would be an instance where she didn't. Imagine there would be an instance where I had to tell. Now that's the story the Chafetz Chaim is painting here. You tell over to the party, you say, look, I have to tell you, the girl is X, Y, and Z. Oh, yeah, we had one story like that. The girl had a serious addiction problem. And the guy didn't see it. And she didn't reveal it. And they were holding just before engagement. And I said, look, if she's not telling you, I'm going to have to tell. So I called the guy over and I said, look, I just want you to know. There's a real serious addiction problem here. This isn't a joke. You know, she can't go a day without a few cups of wine, you know. How's she ever going to have kids? You know, that's endangering the kids. He didn't listen to me. He married her and broke off all contact with me. He's entitled. I wish him well. I hope he's doing well. But here, you run the risk that Chafetz Chaim just said. You have to say something. Sometimes the halacha says, you have to tell something. The laws of Lashon Hara, it's very hard to know where you draw the line. That's why you have to ask a Shaila. We have a whole book to learn, right?
Yeah.
We're not going to cover it in one sentence. So as we learn, we will learn the rules of what to say and how to say and when to say. But even when you've done what's right, sometimes you're faced with the challenge where they come back to you and say, you said that about me? And then you have to be man enough to say, I'm sorry. Yes, I did. That's what I was supposed to do, and I did it. And now the person can be very upset at you, and you have to know to play the game right, not to fall into these traps. The Chafetz Chaim just painted out a picture of how many prohibitions a person can transgress. So even if he started off doing what was right, which is questionable, and that's why I took the time to describe how you should give the other party the opportunity to give their facts, their side of the story. But even if sometimes you're cornered and you have to say it, that doesn't mean you should go into this trap of going through all these prohibitions, going into fights, shaming a person publicly, going and saying more than you're allowed to say. That's where it's very complicated and very important to work within the confines of halacha. So we're finishing off this footnote. So Reuven should have gone in the ways that Hashem told him. And in such an instance where Shimon comes back and tells him, you're a liar, why'd you tell me that? Imagine I tell the guy, you know, the girl you're dating has a drinking problem. She doesn't go a day without drinking a few bottles, a few cups. And he comes back and tells me, you're a liar. She's dry. She's fine. She's been fine for years. Now what am I supposed to do? Tells us the Chafetz Chaim, you don't have to argue with him. You gave him the facts. Now he's calling you the liar. That's a challenge, right? He comes back to you and says, you're the liar. What are you supposed to do? We had a story like that about 2 years ago. A guy was choosing a business partner. We were aware that this business partner was caught being dishonest in his previous businesses. So you come to the guy and you say, look, this is the information we have. And the guy doesn't listen to you. And he goes ahead and takes on that business partner. And then he comes back to you and says, why'd you say such things about him? He's such a nice guy. He's so good. You just have it in for him. That's when you have this challenge the Chafetz Chaim is talking about, where a person has to be willing to say, I'm willing to seem like a liar. So he thinks I'm a liar. I know I did right. He's upset at me. He thinks I'm a liar. What can I do? The mitzvah says I don't fight back, right? I don't have to save my name. I did what was right. He's choosing to believe the other guy. Unfortunately, in the story I'm telling you now, the guy learned the hard way. Initially, he came and said, yeah, he's perfect, he's great, he's amazing. You know, Stam, you gave him
maybe,
a bad name.
Maybe in that situation, he just is only good to that particular guy.
Maybe.
And the rest he screws up.
So. I didn't tell him not to trust him. I just told him. I wasn't the one who told him. Someone else told him. A fact. The guy has a history of being dishonest with his partners. Now, no one said he can't be honest today.
And he can change as well.
Right, everyone can change. That's true. Yes?
Why doesn't the mitzvah consider people that change or fix their problems like addictions or dishonesty? Or such?
So it depends on the scenario. But a person, let's say a person fixed his issue. So he has to think about whether he should put the cards on the table or not. You'll agree with me that there's a difference between a person who was addicted a month ago and a person who was addicted 3 years ago. There's a difference. This girl was addicted when she started dating him. I mean, I know that when they started dating, she was still downing a few cans of beer a day.
But where do you...
I'm saying I know that for a fact. She wasn't, you know...
Ascertain that information.
I don't want to say, because then if he or she will ever watch this video, they'll know.
Where do you draw the line where it's problematic or not? Like, to drink 2 or 3 cups of wine a day is considered healthy, but when you down a bottle a day, it's considered non-healthy. So
okay.
Where do you draw the line, like this person really has a serious drinking problem, or he just likes to drink a few cups
of wine?
I think that Thursday night we could talk about it. I agree with you that a person can change, and I think that that's a difficult question. That's what we said at the onset, that one has to verify halachically when are we supposed to say something and when not. And even when we're supposed to say something, most often the correct thing is to turn to the other party themselves and say, why don't you share this with them? It's always better coming from them. They'll be able to present it much better. And again, I've done this with people who are very dear to me, where I went to the other party, or I gave the other party an opportunity to represent the information. It's always tempting in such scenarios. It's your friend, it's your relative, it's your student. You want to fight for them, right? So you want to come out and tell them, hey, be careful, watch out, you should know that. It's very tempting, but who said that's right? Mm-hmm. I'm saying even in such scenarios where I cared very deeply for the guys here, I gave the other party the opportunity to present their case, and they did. I'm saying in most cases, they did.
At what point are you like assumptuous? You could be assumptuous that they have a problem at all. And if you're
no, that's another question. That if you don't know facts, you have no right to talk.
So how would you know at any one point do you know if they fix the problem or not? Because I imagine that's people fix problems when they realize they have addictions.
Mm-hmm. The one word in your sentence was right.
Imagine.
Right. Imagine. Yeah. Come on, let's be realistic. A lot of people don't.
Are people that have addictions? Don't they become quickly aware either by other people telling them or they themselves realize?
That doesn't mean they overcome it. It's very hard.
It is.
It's very hard. I'm not saying people don't do it, and I'm not saying not to give people a chance, and I'm not saying that we always take a person's past and dig it out. That's what I began with before you guys walked in. I said that. A person has to verify, because in halacha we have definitions, and very often we will say that you do not have a right to share a person's skeleton. I said every person has skeletons, and sometimes the halacha says you have no right to dig that up and share it with anyone. It's no one's business. That's true, but you'll agree with me that if the girl was still drinking when they started dating, it doesn't seem like she resolved her issue, right? Even if she, okay, maybe they dated for 5 years, that's true. But in this case, they didn't, right? So when they date for a few months, that's still something she has to share with him.
Doesn't it's actually blocking maybe a mitzvah they're doing? Because it's a biblical mitzvah to reproduce yourself. And if you block that particular individual of reproducing in the way of marriage, don't you actually go against scripture with it?
Thursday night. It's a good question for Thursday night.
Have I ever seen the movie Airplane?
No.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Back to, so we'll just finish off the Chafetz Chaim's comment. He says, Reuven should have accepted that suddenly Shimon's going to think he was the liar. Ve'lo lechim Shimon tzelevi lo'osif avono al avono arishon dirchilut, Hashem shmoyim imida go'azo. So he says the bottom line is that sometimes even though people will think you didn't tell the truth, that doesn't mean you have a right to come and start defending yourself and saying, sure, I told the truth. Sure, he has this problem. That's a difficult task, but nonetheless, it's an important one. And you will see that in life, this comes up often. It comes up in shiduchim. It comes up in work. It comes up when sometimes the laws of Lashon Hara, that's why you guys are very into this. And it's commendable because this really comes up in life. Comes up very, very often. And it's very hard. It's very hard. But you have to remember what Chafetz Chaim said, that the alternative is to have a snowball effect of transgressions. That's what Chafetz Chaim painted the picture. And that's how it really plays itself out. The person then ends up shaming someone else, etc.